Pasuk Lamed Aleph. After Yonasan told Shaul that David had gone to Beis Lechem, so David got upset. Shaul got upset. He started rebuking Yonasan in great length, and then he said, starting here on the side, I wrote it on the side because from the line before. But Kikol Yomim Asher Ben Yishai Chai, all the days that Ben Yishai, that David will be survive, Chai El Adama will survive on this earth. You will not be able to rectify or to permanently keep maintain you yourself and your kingship. So therefore now Shlach V'Kachol So Eli, come and send to bring him to me. He ben bavisu, because he is a he's liable to the death penalty. And the reason why Shaul says he's liable to the death penalty is because he went without permission. And he's gone, he's AWOL now, several days without permission. So therefore Shaul seized on this as being allegedly a case of Moed B'Malchus, of David rebelling against the kingly authority of Shaul, and therefore being liable to the death penalty. Vayan Yonasan Shaul Aviv, so Yonasan responded to his father, to Shaul, Vayomi Lavi, he said, Lomi Yumas, why should he be put to death? So what do he do? Vayata Shaul Sechanis Olav. So Shaul took his spear and threatened Yonasan, his own son, Lakoso, to smite him. Vayeda Yonasan, so Yonasan know ki kola hi me'im aviv, that it was completely decided by his father, Rami says David, to put David to death. Vayakam Yonasan mi'al shulchan b'choyot. So Yonasan rose from the next to the table with great anger. He didn't eat on the second day of bread, because he was saddened to David, because his father had embarrassed him. Okay, in other words, shamed him or degraded him. Obviously, he wasn't embarrassed in public because David wasn't there, but the point is that Shaul came out very strongly against David. It was the next day. Well, actually, there's a second. There is one Nara A here. A certain model we wanted to do, but it's not here. Where was it? Must have been last week. All right, never mind. Vayakav Yonasan mimashul mukhariyav. Yonasan got up from next to the table with anger.
I
know what it was. The Malbim says here that,
it's not here.
Alright, I know what it was for you. Scratch that. He came back in the morning, so Yonasan went out to the field. Lamoe David to meet David. The Nar Katoni Moni took a young lad with him. And he said to his lad, Ruth Mitzonos Achitim, please go out and run and find the arrows, Asher Nochi Moreh, which I am going to shoot. Hana Rot, the child, the young lad ran. Vuyora Achitim Aviro, and Yonasan intentionally shot the arrow to pass over the lad. So the child got to the place where the arrow was. Asher Yonasan, which Yonasan shot. So Yonasan called after the lad. Vayomer, he said, "Halo achetzi mimcha v'hala." The arrow is beyond you. In other words, you have to run to catch up to get it. Vayikra Yonasan achar nar, so achar nar, and then Yonasan called after the lad again. Go quickly. Do not tarry. Now, obviously, this is a sign to David as well, that David, who's hiding behind the rock in the field, should know that he's in deep trouble and deep danger. The lad of Yonasan gathered the arrow via Vol Adonav, and he came back to his master. The lad did not know what's going on, whether that this is all a sign and a signal to David. Ach Yonasan v'David yadu, but Yonasan and David knew as Hadavar the code, the signal which Yonasan was giving David by this action. Vaitain Yonasan as Kalev Elanar, so Yonasan gave his his bows and arrows, his quiver to the lad. Asher Lo was there with him because he saw that there was nobody else there and that they could have one last conversation with David as long as they're out in the field. So he said to the lad, go and bring the stuff to the city. Hanarba, the lad went and got to the city. The David came to the Negev, and David arose from the south side of the rock where he was. Vayipol Apavat, he fell down on his face to the ground. Vayishtachu Shosh Bamir, and he bowed down three times. Vayishku Ish Yisrael, and they kissed each other. Vayibku Ish Yisrael, and they cried each upon his friend. Ad David Gil, until David cried even more. He cried more than Yonasan. So Yonasan said to David, Lech l'shalom, go in peace. Asher nishbanu shneinu anachnu b'shem Hashem, that which we both swore in the name of God. Lemor is saying, Hashem yeh b'ni u'v'incha, u'v'in zari u'v'in zarecha, God should be between me and between you and between my children and your children, ad olam forever. In other words, may that covenant be fulfilled. Now, why did David cry more than Yonasan? So Rabbag says here, Pasuk Mem Aleph, that the reason why David cried more than Yonasan is he was more afraid. It's a very mundane reason. In other words, Yonasan, he was crying because of a loss of a friend. But David's crying because he's about to be put into great danger. Right? He's going to have to keep fleeing from Shaul. So therefore he was crying more. The Malvim says a little bit differently. The Malvim says that... he doesn't really explain why David was crying more, but he says that David was not paying attention. I guess you could say this. David was not paying attention to the possible danger of their being overheard. Yonasan was much more of the calm, cool, and collected type. He was paying attention of they cry overly much, so who knows who's going to hear, and there's a very big danger that they'll get into trouble or that David will be, show the spies or whatever will hear that David's out there. So therefore, Yonasan tried to calm him down and said, cool it, don't cry so much, because it might be bad for us. Well, we don't know exactly. That's part of the problem with this whole sefer. We have to assume that they were in their late 20s, right? Sometime in the late 20s, because when David became king, he was 30. So, this is definitely David was old and 29, perhaps somewhat younger than that. Okay, in any event, I have a little bit of a different explanation here, which I think is more drushy than valid, but I'll give it to you anyway, what the heck, which is that the reason why David is crying more than Shaul is that David was, of course, the much more emotional type. That was part of David's main nature. And as a result, he was, when he got involved in this great friendship, he was much more prone to become completely emotional and lose his restraint over this issue. As Yonasan was very restrained, and Yonasan therefore, that was the house of Shaul, restraint. So therefore Yonasan was more reserved, and he was able to limit, or I should say, hold back his emotion from gushing out so much. What's interesting is that in that context, in Pasuk Mem Aleph, it says, V'David kam etzel ha-Negev. Now, Negev, of course, means the south, but it also has another meaning. Negev means, what does the word Negev mean? What? Desert, a dry place. Because the Hebrew word Nagub, which is dried up, or matted, like when you mat, mat's the right word, but like when you mop something up with a paper towel, it's called Menagev, to dry it. So, what? Not absorb, no. Wipe clean of all water is called Naguf. So in any event, so here too, David is leaving the Negev. He's not just leaving the house of Shaul in the material sense, but also leaving the house of Shaul in the spiritual sense, that the house of Shaul was a house of dry and bereft of any typhus. Right? In Shaul's house, they were very, very restrained and very, very... and very, very reserved. And that's Naguf, dry. And David is leaving that. In other words, he was supposed to get from that the certain positive components of that kind of character. Whether he got it or not is not the issue right now. But he's leaving this Negev, he's leaving the house of Negev to go out now and plot his own course. Okay, so that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It might be, but nobody mentioned that. It would be nice if a Chazal or the Navi himself or somebody mentioned that, but nobody mentions that it was because of a Nevuah. So I don't know, I can't tell you. Okay? Okay, let's hear the Perichov. Let's start Perichov off. So David arose and he went. Yonasan Bayer and Yonasan came to the city. Vayavo David Nove. David came to Nov. El Achimelech Kohen Achimelech, who was the Kohen Gadol at the time. Vayecherad Achimelech likras David. And Achimelech trembled, which either means he came quickly or he was shocked. And therefore he came towards David, likras David. By Yom Elon, why was he shocked? He said, Madu Atzol Avadecha, why are you by yourself? There's nobody accompanying you. Of course, David, bearing in mind who he was the father-in-law, son-in-law of the king. Certainly it was unlikely that somebody who was affiliated with the royal family that way should come, you know, solo on his own. So therefore, Achimelech wasn't shocked that David was now coming to him, to Nov, without any accompaniment, without any bodyguards, without any soldiers. What's going on here? Why is David coming by himself? Vayomer David l'Achimelech HaKohen. So David says to Achimelech, the kid, the Kohen, HaMelech Tivani Davar, the king commanded me to do something, secret. Vayomer Elani said to me, Ish al Yeda Me'uma, let nobody know a thing, Es HaDavar Shonochi Sholecha, about that which I'm sending you to do, Vashet Tivitil, that which I commanded you. And Vesa says David, Vesa Naorim, the people who accompanied me, the lads who were sent to accompany me, of which there really were none. But David was making this up. The lads who were sent to accompany me, Yodati Magon Ploni Amoni, I didn't want to bring them into the city lest it create a big stir. I left them in a certain designated place, an anonymous location, where they should wait for me in quiet until I'm able to get back and lead them on the secret mission. So in any event, David explains that he's on a secret mission here. According to the Rabag and the Marikra, which seems to be Rudin Chazal, David also, he created a pretext of its of why he had to come to Nov itself, in that he said he has to ask Urim V'Tumim, right? Nov was where the focus of the Beis HaMikdash, where the Avodah of the Mishkan was at that point, and Nov was the place where the Kohen Gadol was, Achimelech. So therefore David said, I came to the city here in order to ask Urim V'Tumim about the continuing my way, about doing this mission, this dangerous mission which I've embarked on. Okay, now we come to several very difficult psukim, which really probably will take us most of the rest of the evening. I'm going to read Dalet through Zion straight, and then come back and explain it. I'll see if I can do that. Now, what is there, says David Tachemelch, what's there under your hand? Chamisha lechem, do you have 5 loaves of bread? Snobby, do you give it to me on imsar, or anything less which you might have accessible if you don't have 5 loaves of bread? Vayana coin is David, so the coin responded to David. Vayomer said, Ein lechem chol el tachas yodi, there's no secular bread under my hand at all. Ki'im lechem kodesh yesh, there's only holy bread. In nishma nori machmish, or if your accompanying servants who are out in the fields, who don't really exist, were careful not to have relations with a woman, nor that they shouldn't become tummy, so then they can eat kodesh. Vayana David is a kohen, so David responded to the kohen, Vayomer loni said to Achimelech, don't worry, women have been curtailed from us for the past 3 days. But they see, since when I left. And therefore, all the objects owned by the lads are all holy. However, the highway which you're going now is a secular highway. In other words, for some mundane purpose. Nevertheless, even if today it's sanctified, whatever you're giving me to eat, I'm still allowed to eat it. So the Kohen came holy stuff. Because there's no bread there. Other than the bread which is taken out every Shabbos from before God. In order to place in their stead a hot piece of bread on the day that it's taken. Now, I translate the psukim literally. The question is how they translate figuratively. So in order to understand that, we have to understand, excuse me, a couple of the issues here. David asks for bread for whatever he can get, purportedly not just for himself, but also for the lads who accompanied him. The question is, what kind of bread is David asking for? What kind of bread is Achimelech answering him? That's the Shiloh here. So according to many Mephoshim, the bread which Achimelech and David are discussing is not the Lechem Aponim, the 12 showbreads, but rather Lachmei Todah, the breads which accompanied, the rolls which accompanied any carbon Todah brought, an optional carbon, a voluntary carbon brought if somebody was asked to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for some reason. So here, the bread was an accompaniment, according to many portions, of the carbon soda. The question is, however, then afterwards, when Achimelech in Pasuk Zion tells him there's no, it says in Pasuk Zion, Vayitin lo kohen kodesh, the kohen gave him kodesh, kiloya sham lechem ki ma lechem upon him, because there's no bread on lechem upon him, then he's saying, Achimelech gave him the lechem upon him, the 12 showbreads, because there was nothing else. And he didn't give him a toda because there was no toda available. Or does it mean he gave him a toda because there was nothing else available which is less kadosh than that? The only other thing available is the lechem aponim, which is more kadosh. That's why he gave him the toda. So this is the question, how to read these psukim. So,
Why would he have five loaves? And why would he
You're supposed to have a question, of course we're going to deal with that. Yes. That's a good question. I'm not sure exactly how to answer that. In other words, you're asking, who cares which bread it was? You're right. It theoretically, it shouldn't bother us. The only reason why it does, the only issue here is really a halachic one. What a person who's a czar, a person who's not a kohen, is allowed to eat from the Beis HaMikdash. But you're right. In terms of storyline, we don't. It seems we really don't care. But we will see a couple of interesting points here. Okay, yeah, right. There's no moral or ethical lesson, or even perhaps not even historical lesson to learn from this psukim. It's either probably just halachic and exegetical. That's all there is. Later. Doesn't seem that way because it was pikuach nefesh, and that's one of the points Chazal make here. Ultimately, it was pikuach nefesh, and therefore they could eat anything. Okay, so I don't think that's the reason.
Okay, let's see
the Rashi here. Let's see all the Rashis from Pasuk Dal, Pasuk Zayin. Actually, Pasuk Hey. Is it Pasuk Dal also? Yeah. What's underneath it? Reading the pasuk again. Now Rashi says, if you don't have five, give me whatever you can find. Anything you find in your hand. Vayana kohen is David. Vayomrein lechem chol tachas yodi kim lechem kodesh yesh. Inishma nori machmisha. Says Rashi, achmisha bekoshani machil azorim. With great difficulty do I give this food to non-Kohanim altogether. Achze irshar. But this is altogether impossible. Shachilenu litzmein that I should give it to Tomei people to eat. Vayana David is a kohen. So David is finding the kohen. Vayomrein on his head. Kim isha tzu alona mitmoshus kitmoshus shom. We haven't had women for the past 3 days. Vayu kol klei anoni kodesh, and therefore the lad's shield or the lad's equipment is all kodesh. Uderecho vav ki ayo mikdash mikli. So it says Rashi here. Atura lanu, atura mimenu. We have been women have been separated from us. Vayu klei anoni kodesh. Torin der kelim ol torin. Uderecho. And besides that, says Rashi, an interesting shot here, V'alechem mishnistalik mi'al shulchan, the bread once it's taken off the table, the k'tira of azichin, and the frankincense which accompanies it is put on the mizbeach, karvul yoschul is considered close to being chulin. Shiyatim de mil, there's no longer prohibition against using this for improper purposes. Mishiyel shatzetu, once it's permitted
the Koranim. So therefore, he can give it to me. Davke lo mitash b'kliv afilu imayom ha'itzchilas klusha. So even if today was the Shabbos before, and he was just putting down the breads now, ha'shulchan ha'itzchilas klitla misham, I would have to take him there la'achilenu and to give it to myself and my men to eat. Sharto bamos, because I have this great, I feel very weakened, and I have this some kind of disease which comes from lack of nutrition. U'masukanu, and I'm in danger. So in other words, even first of all, it's cold because it's absolutely weak as old. But even when it's cold, it's because nevish, I must have this food. Okay, so the Kohen gave him the holy stuff. There's no other bread. Except for the bread which is taken off in order to make room for the new hot bread to be put on the table. So it says Rashi, lechem chom, acher, another one, biyom lechon, the day was taken off. And a rabbi said, Cham biyomi lecho, what does it mean it was hot on the day it was taken? It's an ace. That the old bread, Cham biyomsi lecho, was warm on the day it was removed, Ki yomsi dero, as if it was the day it was placed. Okay? Those are all the Rashis. Now, let's see, selected. So the Rashi was clearly the whole issue which is on the kind of discussion here is the issue of lechem aponim. From beginning to end. Now, Chimelch was not sure where to give David lechem aponim, and David reassures him that halachically it's okay. And even halachically it's not okay, there's still pikuach nefesh factor here, which allows David to have the bread. Okay? Now, let's see the Malbim. Turn back to Pasuk Talit. Actually, yes, the Rebbe's going to ask that about Shabbos. We're going to get there. Says the Malbim, the Dvar Shmuel on page 179 at the bottom. Vatoa now, Achashi Nachli Sham Chamish Norim, since I left the five lads, Rochok Mir Moshe, distant from any settled city. So Noah Chamish Norim, give me five loaves, with Chamish Norim for these five lads. Or you may look Chamish, if you don't have these five, Tena Nimsa Nimsa. Give me whatever you can find, Targum Yonison, Targum Yonison explains. Vayana Kohen, so the Kohen explains. No, Tena Nimsa Tachas Yodi. Give me the tough yod as an abbreviation for put those you could find underneath my hand. Vayana Kohen, so the Kohen responded, Ein Lechem Chol, there's no mundane bread. El Tachas Yodi under my hand, Kiim Lechem Kodesh, only holy bread. Yesh. One could say that he had the rolls which was taken from a toda. And it says in Zvachim that the Kohen only gets a unique portion from the bread of the Truma when there's one central altar in Am Yisrael. Here there's no central altar. The central altar in Shiloh have been destroyed. This is a minor altar in Nov. So since there are only minor altars at this time, therefore it doesn't necessarily have to be given to the Kohen who makes a sacrifice or whatever. When we come upon them, I say, Zakom La'arim, the derech was to pick it up, to separate it. The loss is for the Kohen HaMakriv, and to put it in the hands of the Kohen who was sacrificing. This is also the case with the chest and with the thigh. Shagaki Nain Nogim Babama, although technically they don't apply to the Baba, nevertheless, they used to give them to the Kohen. If a comma come and they're all over, Dino ki kachim, that loch is like kachim. Curry. Well, the kachim got lighter kachim. So the chorim zorim, which can be eaten by zorim, the low it's made. So the lech meitoda, the carbon of the lech meitoda, could be eaten by David. Because even though in a bama gadol in the Beit HaMikdash, the truma, the part taken up from the toda for the Kohanim, cannot be eaten by anybody other than Kohanim. But here it's a special case. Because here the here was a bama ktana, it was a minor mizbech, it's a minor mizbech, so therefore the normal rules don't apply. Vayan David, and David responded, don't be afraid that we're coming by some sort of omission. Kishra at Sarav and Inaz Beitono, women have been separated from us. Zeh Shmizmol Shoshom for 3 days. Shayach Lebedev, which are already on the highway. The guy made Chashash to Matzkeim. You don't have to worry about our Kelim being Tomei. Our vessels, Kikran, are in credit because the vessels of the lads are holy. The guy made Nisra Mitzari Yosef Trumas Lachmei Toida. And also the fact that Truma of Lachmei Toida doesn't make a difference, skipping the parentheses, because it's a way of a weekday. So meaning that they conducted themselves as a snufa as if it was chol. Why? How so? They didn't wave before God, l'shem truma, for the purpose of being a set aside part of the Torah for God. Because like we said, at the time of a minor altar, and therefore there is no real core issue, real requirement of tznufa, of waving and giving part of it to the Kohen. The chain ain't boyish from inside. She also chutz besides that's not prohibited just because they left the precincts of the Beis Hamikdash. She also chutz that which is things are not allowed to leave the precincts of the Beis Hamikdash. Ain't no it only applied rock b'shilo and shilo. Because kachi kachi the chayim b'chol aroe, where we said that kachi kachi means anywhere which saw shilo from a mountaintop of such light, but there was a geographical demarcation line. Lochem b'nova given is not true by nova given. Achashutu abamos once the private altars are permitted, so then there was no prohibition of it leaving the Beit HaMikdash. It doesn't matter. And that's why it says, to say, even though they were sanctified by holy vessels, because the breads of the Torah become Kodesh when the Korbanos that should come to them are shechted. Idea sakin via the knife, which is an instrument, an implement of the Beit HaMikdash. Nevertheless, we flag me toyda outside the Beit Hamikdash have a din of chol. The nagim book of chulin, and we use them, treat them like chulin. Lachol b'chol mokadim by in any place, b'chol adam by any person. That's what it said. V'afki yoyim, but so my yom no ve no kimei ken b'shilo. It means that today in no, it's not like shilo. Shato klu shoris, where klu shoris is a factor. Alzheimer, therefore he said, in other words, it's not, never going to be called Kaddosh anyway, so therefore he can give it to me, or it's never true Kaddosh. Vayitein lo ha-Kohen Kodesh, so the Kohen gave him the holy stuff. Shu Trumas Lachmei Toida, which is the Truma of the Lachmei Toida. Uviratav Shlona Salo Lechmacher, I want to give him from Lechma upon him. According to Malvim at this stage, he didn't give him from Lechma upon him. Why not? Ki lo ha-Yosham Lechem. Because there was no bread there. He also here Shekula Kohani, because it was a city where there was all Kohanim. So therefore they had tremendous, as much priestly stuff as they needed and more. And there's only besides that bread, there's only the lechem upon him. Acher tachtov, we should receive for night to meet. I guess it was also what he's saying is that there was a backup lechem upon him as well. In other words, there was beside, they were telling him, there's nothing besides the lechem upon him and the backup lechem upon him. And that's it, that's all there is in this city. Because basically we're all Kohanim and therefore we have no compunctions about eating Kodesh. That's your problem, not ours. That's what they were saying. Instead of it, because it says before God always, so therefore there always has to be other bread to replace the first bread. Now, despite the fact that the bread taken from the table is lighter than bread which is still on the table, because once it's taken off the table, there is no meila. Meila is the prohibition one transgresses when one damages kachim in a way which is not consistent with their normal use. That's only when they can be used normally. And here, there is not going to be any meila. Because once this has been performed as well, it was performed properly, there is no din me'ila here. So me'ila doesn't apply to this speech, to this lechem upon him. Because lechem upon him, Scratch that. We're still talking about lachmei toida. By lachmei toida, there's no mila. That's what he means to say. Lechem on the table does have truma, does have mila. In other words, as long as the bread is not taken off the table, if the mitzvah has not been fully fulfilled yet. When's it taken off the table? The end of the week. So lechem aponim, you shouldn't give it to him, because that has the transgression of mila. Truma, you shouldn't give him, because if you give a zar truma, what's the penalty? Death. Bidei shamayim, but death. So what did he give him instead? He gave him lachmei toida. That's what he gave him. And by lachmei toida, he says that what he's saying in the pasuk is lechem aponim, I can't give him. Because if I give you lachma upon in the middle of the week, you're going to transgress the more stringent Avera. Instead, I'll give you lachmei toida. So the Ma'abim follows through on all these psukim. He says that ultimately what David has given was lachmei toida, the bread of the toida. Nothing else. Okay? Now, however, Das Chazal goes on to Ma'abim and says, Naso lachma upon him. He's not saying here that all there was besides the toida was lachma upon him. And that's why Achimelech gave David the toida. No. What he's saying is there was nothing, period, besides lechem aponim, and that's why David is beginning from Achimelech lechem aponim itself, the showbread. Do you know what lechem aponim is? So in lechem aponim, no, lechem aponim is, lechem aponim is the get a picture. One second, there's a picture book in the other room. Lechem aponim was on a higher madriga. What according to the Malbim, what's going on is the lechem aponim is the highest madriga of kedusha. That he didn't want to give David. Saying he's only going to give him the trumas lachmei toida, which is a lower level of kedusha. Besides, once the trumas lachmei toida is taken off, there's no me'ila on it either. There's no me'ila on it because it's not the mitzvah has been done already. In other words, if you do a mitzvah, if you have not yet completed the mitzvah to be done with any type of kachin, with any type of holy stuff, so then if you abuse it for some other purpose, such as giving it to a stranger to eat, a non-koi to eat, that's considered to be me'ila. But once the mitzvah is... No, it's on. Once the mitzvah is complete, so then you can't necessarily eat it, but the mitzvah of me'ilah, the transgression of me'ilah is not transgressed if a czar eats it. So therefore, his cheshbon was, if I give him, Achimel's cheshbon was, if I give him now lechem aponim in the middle of the week, so then that's it. David is going to transgress me'ilah. If I give him truma slach meitoid, if I give him real truma, forget it, he's chayav misa. If I give him truma slach meitoid, it's true, he's not allowed to eat it. But there's no me'ilah, and he's not chayav misa. So that's the lesser of three evils. Lechem aponim, truma, and truma slach meitoida, the part of the toda which goes to the kohanim, which is out of 40 loaves, the kohanim get 4, that's the easiest thing to give to David at this stage. Okay? Is that clear? What? Yes, David's intention was to eat. So that's the best thing to give to David to eat with the less, at least, avera involved. How long after? Oh, I don't know. I guess half a day later or something like that. That's a very good question. Chazal speak about that. We're going to get to it. Oh, tonight. So in any event, now the Malbim says that's his pshat. That's Chazal. Let's go on and see Chazal's pshat. Not to the lechem aponim. He gave lechem aponim. I'm sorry, I'll shulchan at the end of the week, not in the middle of the week, but on Shabbos. David also bumus, and the reason why David could take this is because David was in the state of Pikuach Nevesh. He was about to faint. Why lechem aponim, which is taken off the table, supposed to lechem aponim, which is on the table? Because you always give if somebody is fainting and in danger, even on Yom Kippur, you give him something the least you can give him. You only gradually escalate. Pikuach Nevesh, you try to diminish the problem, the prohibitions involved. So therefore,
why did David take time to give him five bread? Because Kohen Gadol will get five chalos when he desired from the lechem aparim. Much kasev a yuma, and like it says yuma. V'amar lo, and David says to Achimelech, sheitin lo chamesh chalos, take him and give him the five chalos immediately. Ki ba'em tisya shitaitu, with that he's going to restore his faintness. Oitul lo nimsa, if he doesn't have that, he should give him something else. Im nimsa yivar chulin toiv yosef. If he's got chulin, it's even better. V'eshul lo akoin ha'amashu amar lo nimsa. So the Kohen says to him, listen, that which you say, I want that which is found, and like Machol, there's no secular bread to give you. Tachas Yodi under my hand, Kim Lachem Kodesh, I have his holy bread. Lechem Aparim, and what can I give you? Only Lechem Aparim, Achar Kodesh, Bilzikin, after, at the end of the week, these containers of frankincense, which again, this picture is not the greatest, because according to others, frankincense is where? On top of the top breads themselves. Okay? But now, whatever the case may be, at the end of the week, these bazichin, these containers which are full of frankincense, which is a crystal-like substance derived from tree sap, were put on his back, and that's when the bread became mutter for Kohanim to eat. So this is the best thing for him to give David. Because the order of prohibition is truma chayav alev misa. If a zohar has truma, it's chayav misa. Lechem aponim kodem akhtoros bezichin. We have the lechem aponim prior to the placing of the frankincense on the mizbeach at the end of the week. Kal yoser, it's less severe. Shurak balav. It's only a lav. The lechem aponim achar kodem akhtoros bezichin. That's prior to putting the bezichin. That's only a lav. The lechem aponim achar akhtoros bezichin. After the bezichin, kal mikulam, it's the lightest of all. Shame bomila, because no transgressor meila, because the mitzvah has already been done. Ach, but nay, but says Achimelech, all this is in condition. In nishmua nori machmisha, if the kids kept themselves from women, he named to main, because if they're tamei, he's hapech adover. Then the hierarchy changes. She eats her kodesh; it's more severe to defile kodesh with tuma, mitruma, than defiling truma with tuma. She tamei ochel kodesh bekares, because if an impure person eats kodesh, he gets kares. The gabe truma, but if an impure person eats truma, later he doesn't get kares, but only gets the generic death penalty in the hands of heaven, which is less severe. Okay, the kami kulam. In any event, if that's the case, still lechem aponim kodem akhtoros bezichin. Better to eat the lechem aponim in your zohar. It's better to eat the lechem aponim after the frankincense has been put on top of the mizbeach, because then there's no meila. But if you're tamei, it's better to eat the lechem aponim prior to the placing of the bezich on top of the mizbeach, because it's true that you transgress meila. But meila is just a plain Jane, simple lie. And the other, you don't transgress tumah. Because it's a prohibition to make tamei true, legitimate, complete kachin. But if the process was stopped in the middle, such as you took off lechem aponim before the second Shabbos and before you put the mezichin on the mizbeach, so then it never became true, complete, whole kachin. So therefore, the tumah prohibition would have been less. So Achimelech is considering here which lechem aponim to give David. And it depends. If he's not tamei, it's better to give lechem aponim, which already is after the bezichin replaced on the mizbeach. If he's tamei, it's better to give lechem aponim prior to it having been placed on the mizbeach. Prior to bezichin. That's what's going on here between Achimelech and David. Now, that's the mouth. The Rabag is a very interesting approach here. The Rabag learns that this is lechem aponim before the bezichin was placed on the mizbeach. Before. And not like the Mahamam says it's after it's put on the Mizbeach, after the Bazichon put on the Mizbeach, after the frankincense is put on the altar. But the Rabbag says it before. And the Rabbag, based on this, learns a very important lesson in Hilchos Pikuach Nefesh, which caused him to, and that in turn caused him to waffle a bit in what Achimelech actually gave David. If you turn back to the Rabbag says, I have a little bracket here. V'yidme, does anybody see that? A little bracket in the Rabbag. V'yidme, it seems, Sh'amar Zeloro said to Achimelech, this person is telling us to teach us, Sh'amar Efshalo Zeh, Yetzin Nochal Lo,
It would have, if it were impossible, it would have been better to give David milach ma'pani. Ki acha kravas machshira, because after you're ready, you put the frankincense on the mizbech and bezichei levoina, and the bezichei levoina. Ein bo mil klal, there's no meal at all. However, that wasn't available to David at the time. Now we'll discuss why in a minute. However, so that's why the Kohen Rabbah gave him right now lechem ha'panim prior to it actually having had the bezichin sacrificed. And it seems from this statement that the Kodesh Achimelech actually ended up giving him was Yosef Me'anatia was more of a deviation from the pathways of Torah. Mimashi lechem aponim, then if you gave him lechem aponim after Kravas Matir, after Bezirim placed his back. And therefore says the Rabbah, you know what? Maybe I'll renege on my pshat. Maybe it is Shazah Kodesh and Nusalo that the Hekdesh which the Achimelech gave David, who Truma was really Truma, or Mincha, Vitra Kohen Achilasal Zion, the Kohen allowed a foreigner to eat it. Velo Achilasa Betuma, but did not let him eat a Betuma. That's why I asked him about the women business. Kiazorus Yitochen, Shiyu Tarmine Pikoach Nevesh. That's Rabbah a fascinating thing. That a Zor should eat Hekdesh will allow because of Pikoach Nevesh. Why is that? Because eating is what in and of itself takes away the danger which is inherent in being hungry. So thus the pikuach nefesh is a direct sanction for the prohibition involved, which is a non-Kohen eating Kodesh stuff. However, Tuma is not like that. Tuma should not be pushed aside because of Pikuach Nefesh. Because the Pikuach Nefesh, the prohibition of Tuma, has nothing to do with eating, has to do with coming in contact with. And therefore, the issue on which the Pikuach Nefesh is based, the consumption for a hungry person, is not a direct permission here, or should not grant direct license for David to be Mitame Hekdesh. Again, because these are two separate avenues. But if the issue here is eating Hekdesh, so then the license is granted by the Bikoch Nefesh of being hungry to transgress that prohibition. But if we're talking about being Mitame Hekdesh, being Mitame Hekdesh means coming into contact without necessarily eating. So the Bikoch Nefesh cannot grant license to do that unless it's completely unavoidable. Is that what I'm trying to say? Does that make sense? Is it clear at all? Somewhat? Not quite? Pikuach Nefesh, the Rabbah is saying like this, Pikuach Nefesh should only, let's see the other example it brings, maybe I'll make it clear. Uzos Asiba, and for this reason, the Eina itself, I'm not sure what this word should be actually. Zosa Siba. Anyway, Yutar Chabos says Aner b'Shabbos. It's permissible to extinguish a candle on Shabbos. Shura Chol Shiisha for a sick person to sleep. Shura B'Chol Sakana when there's danger in his illness. Lo Yutar, yet we won't allow you Tautos Aner to carry the candle. Lo Tichutz Michedra Chol to take it out of the Chol's room. Says it's more permissible to extinguish a candle in its spot than to carry it out of the room. Because to extinguish it in the spot, that causes darkness immediately. And that's what the sick person needs. He needs darkness in order to be able to sleep. To take it out of the room only indirectly causes darkness. It's true the end result will be the same, but in an indirect fashion. By having transported somewhere else to cause light, the light to go somewhere else. As opposed to causing darkness when it causes the light to travel. That's indirect. So it's much better to make a pikuach nefesh in an area in which the bikuach nefesh clashes directly with the prohibition, as opposed to the bikuach nefesh going around the prohibition somehow. So therefore, it's better to take to extinguish the candle because you need the darkness, and that way you're creating darkness. Than to move the candle, which is true, achieving the same end, but not in a direct fashion. And here too, Achimelech would rather give the David's tummy. Achimelech is not so happy about giving him hekdesh deeds, because if David is just hungry, so then anybody's tar. So then the sole prohibition involved is a zar eating hekdesh, and because nefesh is matir eating, because the guy is hungry. But if he's tummy, then there's an additional prohibition, a prohibition of being metamei hekdesh. The pikuach nefesh doesn't directly clash with that, because pikuach nefesh has to do with eating, and the tumah has to do with contact. So therefore, says the Rabbah, Achimelech is not comfortable giving David hekdesh if he's also tummy as well, because pikuach nefesh doesn't attack that problem directly. Okay, so the Rabbah says, because the principle of pikuach nefesh, if you have a choice of two possible prohibitions to transgress, transgress the prohibition which the pikuach nefesh directly attacks, which can therefore grant you greater license. Okay. Now, however, yes. No. No. Depends on the state. Depends how severe a state they're in. You're talking about something else, I think. If a person says they're ill on Yom Kippur, and we take their word for it. Right? Now we got in mind. Yeah, but not usher stuff. Here we're giving, that's true. Yeah, no, it's not this comparable. It means you have to give him food right away, but not usher food. If you know that a person is claiming pikuach nefesh, but you have ways of saving him with something less than complete and total prohibition, so you give him machil nosa kal kalchil, you give him first the lighter prohibitions involved until you escalate to the higher prohibitions. That's how lachan ills pikuach nefesh. By food, primarily. Because you ingest it, so therefore it's more severe. Now, why is the Rabbah, why does the Rabbah have this whole issue? The Rabbah has this whole long-winded explanation based on the assumption that he was giving lechem aponim in the middle of the week. So the reason why the lechem aponim was why the Rabbah waffles on that, says maybe it was something else, whatever. But the question is, which bothering the Rabbah, and obviously he's bothering Malbim, and obviously he's bothering everybody else, is expressed eloquently by the Radak, and was expressed by the Dr. Spindel as well before. So you look here in the Radak, says, "Vodech nosam lo lechem aponim," we have the bracket. When it was distributed on Shabbos, they distributed. And I nechlok by mishmar yotzi, mishmar nichlas was divided among the mishmaros. And then they would eat on Shabbos. David didn't get there on Shabbos. So where's there any lechem aponim left to give him? Maybe say, since it's pikuach nefesh, David Taka came on Shabbos. So I should tell him, Lord, Achimelech, instead of Achimelech asking him, why are you here by yourself? Should have asked instead, hey, how do you come there on Shabbos? Much more important question to ask. Besides, if Achimelech didn't have secular bread, no secular bread in the entire city. She shall David meachob im neir. The David could ask from one of the people in the city. Atzurtzach Achimelech lost his lechem kodesh, so Achimelech gave him holy bread. And maybe he'll say David didn't want to reveal himself in the city. Secret. So let Achimelech ask for a secular bread from one of the people in the city. Lachil Yisrael to give it to a Yisrael who came to the city by happenstance. You think the other people in the city would have asked Achimelech by working who he's getting the bread for? So to respond to this question, we have to know there were no non-Kohanim in the city of Nob. Everybody who lived there was a Kohen. Lock, stock, and barrel. But if you call Nikris, you're a Kohen. That's why it's called the city of Kohanim. The next parak will kill out the entire city. Because he had his anger at the Kohanim, besides it because of Achimelech. Became a choice of Kula Kohanim since it's all Kohanim. The lawyer, Yisrael, Zor Shochet Beinem, there's no Yisrael among them at all. The entire city was eating Truma. There was no secular bread in the entire city. But Truma had Surah, he was Zor and Bavon Mitzah. And if a Zor eats Truma, zap. Ramasuka Machmas Rav, somebody is in danger because of hunger. Machina so Dover Asr, he's saying Asr to eat. He may learn a mutter, we don't have anything permissible to eat. When we have two prohibited things, Machina so Akau give him the lighter thing to eat. That's Achimel came Lechma Ponim. Because like we said before, there's no meal in them after the Bezichel Vona have been sacrificed. The David Bivadai Bechol Brach Lachimelech. And David clearly came on a weekday to Achimelech. Achimelech gave him the stuff from the previous Shabbos. If you tell him, if you're going to say, Kevin Shabbat Bechol, if he came a weekday, Echoyol Achimelech Lech Ma'aponim, how Achimelech have Lech Ma'aponim left? I'm a servant of the Hashem which are taken from before God. For look for Necho B'Shabbos Shavar was eaten in the previous Shabbos. Bein Shnei HaMishmaros, between the two Mishmaros who were there. Efshar Shemot, the two sets of Kohanim, one in the previous week and one in the coming week, who served in the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe David found that they weren't all eaten yet. There were 12 chalos which were distributed among all the Kohanim. So there's some left. And then brings out another answer. I can also say, oh, furthermore, the was left over because Kohen Gadol, when he gets equal amounts to everybody else of the chalos. And therefore he got more. So therefore he had more left over. Now, he brings down the Radak. Back to your question from before. Next bracket. Bamu Razal, Chazal say, Kidolo Legima. Giving a little bit to eat is a very important thing. Shishigasav, what unintentionally doesn't do it properly, or Razaron, it's as if you did a terrible thing intentionally. Shemala Yilvo, Ladar Yonison, David, Shtei Kikros Lechem, or Yonison to have given David two loaves of bread to take with him. The city of Nov would not have been destroyed. The Lonitra Doegadomi, who we'll see next week, would not have lost his Chechalim Haba. The Lonerag Shol, Shloshes Barab, and Shol's three sons would not have had been killed because they were punished for the Nov Ira Kohanim Avera. The whole thing, obviously, Yonason didn't know this. What did he know? He knew that he had, certainly if he would have thought about it, he would have given David the two loaves of bread, say the Laderach to take with him. But he didn't think. And since he didn't think, Shikigasa, even though it was unintentional, all is Zodon, as if it was intentional. Meaning that all the tragic consequences of a deliberate sin came from an unintentional, oversight. That's what happened. It's a terrible, terrible statement by Chazal. And they're not saying really to critique Yonason. They're saying, always think ahead. Even the smallest thing, the smallest deviation, the smallest loss, the smallest forgetfulness, even unintentional, even without any, possible havamina of causing anybody anguish or pain, even if it's your most beloved person, who, if you had, you thought about it, you truly would have done it. Never can tell what terrible consequences.
You know, someone was probably afraid because he's smiling, so they would ask him, what are you bringing on
this bread? Oh, two breads. That's what it says, two breads, not five. Could just brought him a little bit to tide him over. So that's the thing, that Yonason didn't think of that. And he didn't think of that, so that's so terrible as the result. The world is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allows things to happen. And if a person misuses his Bechira, not just to be Bocher Bara, but not to be Bocher Betov to the right extent, not to choose to do good, the right thing by paying attention and being careful and meticulous and doing the right thing, that's what happens. So the bottom line is, always err on the side of being more gracious than you have to. So the only conclusion you can reach here. Just to finish finish the psukim. I really want to start doing tonight, but it's late and we won't get a chance to start. We'll have to start him next week. But one thing the Marie Cross says, and I was going to see it inside with you, but it's much too long to see her. Marie Cross, bothered by in Pasuk Vav, it says, Isha Tzura Lanu Kitmo Shilshom. Now, quite to all the question, what it means is that a woman, we've refrained from women from Tzmol Shilshom from 3 days ago. So what does it mean, Kitmo Shilshom, as 3 days ago, as 3 days? It's the wrong grammar. So the Marie Cross says, but on the contrary, really what Dove is saying is, we've had women this whole time. But what do you care? Says, what's the problem, Kerry? That we had him, when you have relations with women, so you're tummy because of too much Kerry, because of emissions involved? So we'll go to a mikvah. That's what he's saying. Saying, Kitmoshu, show me taket that. We did have relations with our wives when we left. That's true, but it makes no difference because Vayukli and Narim Kodesh, the Kalim, which which the Narim had, are Kodesh anyway because we went to the mikvah, and you don't have to worry on the bread. Therefore, because despite the fact that it's that they're a chol, that we were going on a highway, which was a secular mission, nonetheless, Afkiyoy Mikdash B'Kli, even if the stuff is Kodesh in a Kli today. Don't worry, we'll go to the mikvah, and once you go to the mikvah, everything will be fine and dandy. So he learns the opposite of everybody else. Not that David is reassuring him that, don't worry, we haven't had any contact with women. No, it could be we did have contact, but we're not dummy anyway. Anyway, we'll have to stop here. Next week we'll start with Doeg, which is the next pasuk. Just want to tell you something, a pasuk, a thing, a small thing, which I realized after having started preparing Doeg. Doeg in Gematria is the same as what? David, you knew that? Did you realize that ever before? I never realized it either. David and Gematria, the same thing as Doeg. The primary adversaries. Not only that, Doeg is called Doeg HaAdomi. What was David called? David HaAdmoni. These things go together. We'll come back to that next week. What? David and Doeg are the same. Adomi and Admoni are off by one letter. But both mean red. Both of them were red, in some respect. And David and Doeg themselves are the same Gematria. Is that it's a chemical reaction, the process of which you have on page 209. And if you turn back to page 209, you will see that the Rajim pigment, although the Rajim Tchelos had been rejected by many rabbinical authorities for halachic reasons, and after its manufacture had been discontinued before the Second World War, a similar process was revived in Israel in 1953, since when the Hasidim of Rajin and others have adorned the talus with its blue threads. Chemical analysis of the contemporary product has established that the coloring matter present is a purely inorganic pigment called Prussian blue. An identical result was obtained in 1913 with thread supplied from the original dye house in Rajin. So what's Pshat? The Pshat is this cyanide salt of iron was actually the first modern synthetic pigment, originally prepared in 1704 in Berlin with bullock's blood and later with flesh or other animal matter. In 1749, Prussian blue was introduced in France for dyeing wool and silk. By the time Rabbi Liner prescribed the use of Prussian blue from Scipio Strelitz, the chemist had already prepared the inorganic pigment from cyanide without using any naturally occurring material at all. What happened in Rajin is that the Rajina Rebbe, not being a chemist, didn't understand that it was not the inherent blue in the cuttlefish which was coming out when he put it in the iron filings, but any time you use the cyanide iron filings and mix them with any organic matter, whether it be cuttlefish blood or any blood of any animal whatsoever, it would create Prussian blue. Clearly not Tchelis. Unless you all like the we were Medayik in the Rambam that any blue color is good for Tchelis, and not specifically from a Chilazon, but otherwise, you could do the same thing with blood from an ox. If you mix blood from an ox with cyanide and metal filings and all the chemicals described in the long list we just saw, it would create blue dye, very nice blue dye. But that cannot be the Tchelis which the Torah was talking about. So therefore, it's clear that the Regina Tchelis is not the proper Tchelis. And it's got to be something else. It's got to be the trunculum or the branders or something else. So in conclusion, let's just turn to the last page, page 6 again. The summary denied proofs. 9 independent lines of evidence substantiate the trunculus theory regarding the source of authentic Tchelis. 1, malacology. That's
Archaeology. An enormous pile of ancient shells of Trunculus was found on the Sidon shore. The shells have been broken close to the location of the hypobranchial gland from which the dye is produced. To the Talmud. The morphology and biological behavior of the Trunculus corresponds to the Talmudic description, as do the characteristic clear fluid obtained from the fish snails. 3, it's similar to Kleila. Like we said, it comes out to be purple. 4, the dyeing technique. It's a very similar way to the way they dye it. It's very similar to the way they was means available in antiquity. 5, the dye is very fast. The colorants obtained do not fade, being very stable against environmental influences. 6, the hyacinth U, the dye U is violet, being shaded more to blue than ancient bergamot. 7, chemistry, the dye stuff contains a blue colorant and the indigo tin that distinguishes it from the dyes obtained from the garment species. 8, archaeology, from the textile remnants which they found. And 7, 9, ecology, where they're found in the proper place on the shores. So the Chora one would say, okay, so all this evidence points to the Trunculus as being Tchelus, so why don't we take it? Why don't we use it? But the bottom line is, like the Beis HaLevi said. Beis HaLevi said, no matter how much circumstantial evidence we can amass, we have no Messiah on it. If you take a look here, on the bottom, there's a quote from another fellow who wrote in this reissue of Rabbi Herzog's thesis. He writes in point number 2, no reliable source is available that can define exactly what Tchelus was and how it was made. And although we can use all sorts of scientific corroboration and analysis and circumstantial evidence in matters which come to halacha, you cannot be clear unless you have a Mesorah, or unless Mashiach or Eliyahu HaNavi comes and tells us. And therefore, there really is no clear-cut halachic evidence for the use of Tchelus, which means we don't even have to be machmir and use the Tchelus. Because the Chumrah is on the basis of halachic evidence. And here we have no halachic evidence as to what Tchelus is. And this is a basic and insurmountable obstacle to renewing the Avodah of Karbonos, like we mentioned last week. Because in order to renew the Avodah of Karbonos, one has to know exactly what Tchelus is and what our government is in order to make Big Dekuna. And since we don't know, we cannot make Big Dekuna. Since we cannot make Big Dekuna, we cannot do the Avodah Beis HaMikdash, so we are stuck, and we cannot do any Avodah until the Yad Navi comes and tells us what Tchelus actually was.
This was a time of tremendous prolification of Sfarim. In the 13th century, and in France and Germany, the Rabbanim decided it was time to collect all the halachas and put them together in different works. There was a Sefer Truma, there was an Or Zeruah, there was a Smag, an amazing amount of Sfarim in the 13th century. And it was done because they felt, since there were so many different shitas involved, it was important for the regular Joe on the street to be able to have all those halachas ready for him. This was the movement that eventually led, of course, the next to the Piskei Rosh, and then we had the Sefer HaTurim, right? So this Sefer, this was what everybody was doing. So Rabbeinu Peres, instead of writing his own Sefer Pesachim, decided to add notes to his contemporaries' works. So Rabbeinu, that's what he used to do. So Sherumanein Sikum Shodeis Kanonim. Most of what he does is add notes of previous people to the other works. Kishiroa Sefer Amitzah Shel Rav or Yitzchak Rav Yosef Mikorvil. When he saw Rav Yitzchak Mikorvil was his Rebbe Sefer. Near Roy Shakitzer Abizah Sefer Yosher Midai. The Sefer Mitzvah Zakotan is too small. There's not enough in it. The Wakat Zah Sefer Lefonov, the Kor Kul Makam Shinir Lais about Bar of Hosin. He decided to add stuff to it. Well, the Makam Shinir Lachlai, call up the Kotan Ugantin for Rosai, the Kabalosin Mashakibo Merabosa. And where he sometimes had supposed to argue, he added his notes. Agos Eyo Eden Shavas Makokis Fayad, but if you take a look at the manuscript editions of the Sefer HaMitzvah HaKotan, some of them have more notes, some of them have less notes, because everyone started adding to it, to a point, like he says here, that Rav Chaim Or Zeruah said that there's a Sefer called Sefer HaMitzvah that was written by Rabbeinu Peres. In other words, Rabbeinu Peres added notes in there, and other of his students added notes, and then the book became a little bit more jumbled, and people thought Rabbeinu Peres wrote the Sefer HaMitzvah. Anyway, it got to a point that until the edition that came out about 120 years ago, we weren't sure which Rabbi Yitzchak Mikorvil wrote and which Rabbeinu Peres wrote, and it was hard to figure out what was going on in that Sefer. As we're going to see later, even Rabbeinu Yitzchak Mikorvil's own brother-in-law, the Mordechai, wasn't sure what was there from his brother-in-law and what was there from his brother-in-law's students. But had Rabbeinu's parents not wanted to insert into other people's work, we would not have, other than what I showed you, which none of the Rishonim had, a source for kidneys. It was there that the Achronim found the mocha for kidneys. The notes of Rabbeinu parents to this mock. And that's right above it. Ala kidneys, kigon fivish, ufulerish, vadoshin, types of beans, rice. Rabbi Seidu noga ben Yisr, shalola ochum bepesach klau. The chay nir kimidumish shamati ala payun shalola bachum bepesach. Kibamayim roasin, mitzkivas, mitzinosin, bikteira. The only way to deal with that is basically to take the bean and put it in hot water right away. Because we know when one of the mine dogon, anything gets put in boiling hot water right away, then it can no longer be affected anymore. Once it becomes either boiled or fried, then every chemical process which was possible to take place in it has already taken place, and it won't rise anymore, and there won't be any chomets in it. Therefore, that was the minig how to eat beans. The way to eat those beans was to boil them out water right away. Now, v'gzol nogen ben hetzer. Before faith. Well, even, well, we'll see, even on paper. V'gzol nogen ben hetzer. Omar Rebbeinu Yechiel, yinayg lechol b'pesach fu alovan. V'gam v'yemir kem v'shem gedolim. Or maybe Raya Dafil Ba'ir is the question. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri Min Dog and Lagabi Chimus. Even when it comes to Oreis, which Rabbi Yochanan, which type of whatever Oreis is, which Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri says is really funny. Kamer Tamuda West the question of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri. No one's even worried about him. We know not only is Halacha not like him, but we don't care about his time at all. So you see, we're not worried at all about this chemical process taking place. So Rabbi Yechiel said there's no reason to author it. Therefore, Rabbi Yechiel Mipiris wanted to overturn the minig, like he says here. Minig, Rabbi Seidel Noyeg Ben Oster, it's been a minig kadmonic. But he says like this. Miyu, even though that was Rabbeinu Yechiel, kosher the davar ma'od lahatir. Davar shenoyeg by oil miyister mimeik achonim ha-kadmonic. The mistamoy noga by yister machmas chima ta'atmo. The otoba davar shetino kosher beis rabban shalom da loch yodin. Everyone knows that we're not worried about chimus. We know that chimus, in other words, he doesn't mean to say no one, he means here that there's no way that it's an instant or abundant because it also has the process known as chimus. The Gemara in Pesachim says the process known as chimus only happens with these five. Of course, there was never any happening that should be usher midaraisa. But he's saying even if it should be an instant or abundant because it's chimus, that's not the reason. What's the reason? Okay, Nir Lakaima Midigla Asher Kokanis Pesach, Vomach Maschimus Asmo. He told to Omar Cain, El Mitam Zeru, the Kiva, the kidney is Maisa Kedeiru, who, since kidney is, right, you make cash, you make grits out of it, right? You take kidneys, you grind it up, and you boil it, and you make like a type of grits out of it. The dog and Nami Maisa Kedeiru, and felt and wheat, etc., Kosma Shibelushol, you also barley, you also grind it up, and you make like a cash out of it. So therefore, it's Kedaisa. So we have Isharini kidney is, Uli Asibachlufi Lahatir Daisa. I was explaining the Svara once to someone. I said, listen, if you're in the yeshiva, and you know every day in the morning in the yeshiva, they have some sort of hot cereal. One day it's farina, one day it's oatmeal, one day it's cornmeal, but it's all the same thing, right? You're all looking at the same, right? And all, it's basically the same sort of texture. So, since it's not because it's Pohudei Chimus, but because it's used similarly to the way the others are used, so a person's going to now allow, if it is, he's going to allow kidney, he's going to allow grit, he's going to allow farina. And farina is something.
So you have the same food.
What?
Even
that's right, because they were used similarly. Even the Evie Maisek Seiru. Also?
That's the trouble with that Svara is that if that's the case, then we would have a few today taking sand starch and do the same thing, sand starch.
Right, well, you're going to see that next week, you're going to see that there were communities that did not allow potatoes. Potato starch. There were communities that held potato starches also, or machmas to their kidneys. But hang on. We'll see. Hang on. Next. What's another reason? But God made it in Midganu. Also, it basically has the same properties as Dogon. It has the same nutritional properties as Dogon. You don't make a bar mitzvah on it. It doesn't turn into a bread, but it's considered midgan. Midgan means dogon. It gets into your bones, and it's like it's nutritional. It has that special nutrition of dogon. And he brings a rice and so for Zapolim, the corn with kidney is meat of the midgan. And over there, the Gemara says that any type of kidneys is called nutritional power of dogon. So since, like dogon, in terms of what it does, and what it does to the human system, therefore, gam yesh makom shorigim lafman pas, and the places where they actually make bread items out of that. So in those three ways, it's used similarly to pas, not because chemically the process is similar, but it's used in three ways, just like bread is used. People that aren't B'nai Torah, well done, are going to think, hey, if this is mutter, bread is mutter. And you can't say, you can say the same thing about vegetables. You go cruel, vikar, shikiyosaman. Because everyone knows, hami lo domi klal with dogs. Those don't look, they don't grind up the same way. They don't, you can't cook them the same way. Therefore, it's a minig hodin to bizarre kidneys. This is what Rabbeinu Peretz, who I think, and Auerbach also, Rabbeinu Peretz took this probably from Rav Shmuel Mifalais. This is the note from the Vatican in Savya from Shmuel Mifalais, as he says over here, dot, Zosia Gosset Rabbeinu Peretz. And this is actually Rav Shmuel Mifalais' note, which today, which exists today in the Vatican. This is what Rabbeinu Peretz used to amend to his Rebbe's Sefer. Avlachshov. He says, Avram Tamudah Shari Ores. My Rabbeinu Yechiel said, come on. They weren't worried about Ores. How come they didn't make up all those other reasons that we made up now? Zel Dafki B'Yemeyim. Shri Yikum B'Kiyam B'Yilcha Sisser V'Esser. In the time of Chazal, people were B'Kiyam in Alokha. Avram Akshav V'Doras Achronos. Now, we have to know when that happened. Sometime in the beginning of the Middle Ages, whatever, the 11th century, the 12th century, they decided that today people are not B'Kiyam B'Alokha. Vada Yesh Ligzer. Gamza Atam Pirsh Rabbeinu Sad Yigon Gabi Din Yoledes. We know with Dinya Wedis that she has, after she gives birth, the dam, after you make tumah, considered to make tahara, right? That's dam, which is not dam nida. Even though she's bleeding, the Torah says that's the make tahara. Rabbeinu Sadia said, there's a difference between the Doros Hishonos and Doros Achronos. That the later generations, even though in the time of Chazal, we weren't afraid of the mix-up, and we felt that people are going to be able to count and realize when the blood is considered blood, which is not considered tahara, she's not in nida, and when the blood is, today is different. Therefore, I feel with the Mayim Rosh and Mitzchil Yeshua also. Therefore, even though there were some Gedolim who always said, we have a big Eitzah, let's just put the kidneys and put them in hot water, and therefore it becomes impossible for them to ever become a Chametz. Also, we should ask her, Dilma Asi Lachlufe, because if we're going to allow this, then maybe they're going to put in cold water, and that's the way that if they had been real doggone, they would become a Chametz. Therefore, we don't want to deal with kidneys at all, and no water whatsoever. So, although there was a movement, as we see from Rabbeinu Manoah, and we see from Rabbi Chiyum Parish, and Rabbeinu Yehuda, the Rabbanim that stayed and remained over there decided to Mekayim the Minig, and they're Mekadosh for new time. Okay? Now, as I said, if you take a look right on, if you take a look, but that didn't mean everybody accepted. You take a look, now let's go to the right, where you see Tur. The Tur says, Mutter Lassus Man Tasha. The Tur is on the right hand side, says the word Tur right on top. You can make a Tasha out of it. V'chei v'chom b'nei kidneys. V'yesh olsun l'echol oriz v'chom b'nei kidneys b'tasha. V'fisha b'nei kithim is arvin v'hem. Oh, for new reason. Why? Because when you bring it from the store, there's always the guy is, there's a mix-up. The guy's got the guy's got flour, he's got spells, he's got other stuff, and he's got corn, rice, whatever. So, listen, go to the bulk food section of your Dominic, and you'll see, you got this, you got that, everything is all mixed up over there. So, therefore, there was a very big shash that in the process, there'd be pieces of chitz in there, and we know chametz is usher b'mashu. Then you're going to do the whole process, and what's going to happen? You have a little bit of chametz in there. That's already something else. But he says, chumra yaseiri zu. It's a chumrah. So this is the Tur. The Tur was the son of the Rush, that the Rush left behind in Germany when he went to Sfard. We know the Rush, about the midlife, left Germany. He went to Spain. He became the Rub of Toledo. And he brought into Spain all the ideas that he had, the Baliatosis and the Psachim of the Chochmei Ashkenaz. And it was there that he wrote the Pitzkei HaRosh, which later became the Omer of Halacha. His son, the Tur, remained This was in the late 1200s, late 13th century. And the Torah writes that there are people that ask for kidneys, but it's a Chumra Yaseira, and we don't have that minig, low double K. So you see that it wasn't so clear that maybe the people that were being makel were getting the upper hand. Take a look also below the Talmud Mubik of the Rosh, Rabbeinu Yeruchim. Osem Shinobu Shloa Echo Oris, see right below that, Rabbeinu Yeruchim. Osem Shinobu Shloa Echo Oris, Mini Kidneys, Mavushu Bepesach, Minak Shtusu. It's a Minak Shtus. Zuosi, Mayasin Lachmar Asmun. Maybe they're doing it to be Machmirim. Zoyadati. I have no, I don't understand why, and it doesn't make sense to me. So, okay, we don't need. We're, right now, we're dealing with history now. Okay, I'm showing you now. Yeah, now.